We know that the risk for cancer is associated with those firefighters who have been at more fires in their careers. So it does point in that direction, that those exposures increase risk.
Hey, Seattle firefighters. Welcome to Listen Up L27. I have Dr. Marcy Hamrick here from Station 2 Clinic. She's the medical director, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about cancer screening. Dr. Hamrick, firefighters often hear they're at a higher risk for certain cancers. What do we actually know about that risk, and why is it higher?
Yeah, we do know that firefighters are at higher risk of cancer than non-firefighters. Overall, it's believed that firefighters have a 9% higher risk of a cancer diagnosis and about 14% higher risk of a cancer-related death. So it's not nothing. If you look at the cancers that firefighters are known to have more frequently than non-firefighters, for instance, testicular cancer, firefighters are about twice the risk, which sounds scary. It sounds like a lot. But if you look at the lifetime risk of anyone, any male in the U.S., the incidence of testicular cancer is about 1 in 250. So that's 4 people out of every 1,000 that are diagnosed with testicular cancer in the general population. Among firefighters, because that risk is doubled, it means that 8 people out of 1,000 in their lifetimes will be diagnosed with testicular cancer. So it is an increased risk, but you still have 992 people not getting testicular cancer, for instance. There are some cancers that are more common in the general population, for instance, prostate cancer. Firefighters have a 1.25 times the risk of being diagnosed with prostate cancer. And if you look at in the general population, over men's entire lives, about 125 people per 1,000 will be diagnosed. And in firefighters, that risk increases to 156 people per 1,000. So again, it is a higher risk, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're for sure definitely going to get cancer at some point in your life. In terms of why firefighters have a higher risk of cancer, I think a lot of it is related to exposure to carcinogens in smoke and exhaust. We know that the risk for cancer is associated with those firefighters who have been at more fires in their careers. So it does point in that direction, that those exposures increase risk. And I think of also the long-term exposure to chemicals, including those that historically have been in firefighting foam, that have been linked to increased risk of cancers as well. Also contributing, I think, to the risk in firefighters is lifestyle things like sleep deprivation, alcohol use, obesity, eating a lot of red meat, particularly processed red meats. That also plays a role.
Wow, so a lot of factors there going into it. And something to really consider. So let's also talk a little bit about cancer risks as it relates to lifestyle.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people have the thought that genetics plays a strong role in cancers, particularly if they have a relative or two or three who have been diagnosed with cancer. But in reality, genetics plays about 10 to 20% of the role in terms of cancer risk. And lifestyle factors, which include sleep, nutrition, alcohol use, those types of things, often make up about 80 to 90% of the risk of cancer in people, including those on-the-job exposures.
So you got a double whammy there.
Absolutely.
For that.
That's right.
And then when you talk about some of these things that are lifestyle related, what are a few things that firefighters can do to lower their odds?
Yeah, actually the first thing I think of is around using protective equipment at work. I think that those exposures in the line of duty increase risk significantly. So using full PPE throughout the entire incident, including wearing SCBA during salvage and overhaul. Immediately doing gross decon of your PPE after coming out of a fire. Properly storing PPE. You know, one thing that I think has gone out of favor or out of habit is using the baby wipes on the head and neck after coming out of fires. And I recently read a study that showed a 58% reduction in carcinogen levels in the blood of firefighters between those who used the baby wipe versus those who didn't. So it's a really important step to take that I think sometimes gets overlooked. So I want to emphasize that a lot, in addition to showering as soon as possible and storing PPE away from living areas. So that's sort of the first bucket of things that I think of in terms of reducing cancer risk are the things that they can do on the job.
Yeah, and I think the culture has changed too, because it used to be, this is going way back, I had interviewed a firefighter who actually wound up with cancer, and he talked about how when he was much younger, having that dirty fire helmet, it was, you know, it was kind of cool and that kind of thing. But he showed his fire helmet now, and it's pristine. Absolutely pristine. And he, you know, his cancer is in remission. He's doing great. He's still an active firefighter, actually. But it was looking at, you know, just the difference between what that helmet looks like previously and what they're doing now. And I think that says a lot about how it's being taught in the fire service about the cleanliness of your equipment, your gear, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, fortunately, I think our knowledge and education about the risks have positively contributed to behaviors in terms of taking care of yourselves. So yes, I'm glad that the culture is moving that way, and I just want to continue encouraging people to continue that.
So Dr. Hamrick, what are the cancer screenings that are available through Station 2 Clinic right now?
Yeah, so right now, every time someone comes for their firefighter medical exam, we do lab work, including a urine sample, and that's looking for bladder and kidney cancer. We do blood testing, which looks at blood counts, which can reveal blood cancers. We check a prostate cancer test called PSA, and we do a chemistry panel that can suggest cancers like multiple myeloma. We refer firefighters for lung imaging to evaluate for mesothelioma, which is not a very common cancer, but it can be a bad one. Colon cancer screening we talk about starting at 40, so at an earlier age and more frequently than the general population is screened. And that can be done by a stool test that's done once a year or a colonoscopy that we recommend at least every 5 years. We refer women for mammograms starting at the age of 40. We encourage women to be up to date on their pap smears. And then on our physical exam, we are taking special attention to parts of the exam that focus on possible areas where firefighters have an increased risk of cancer. We do a thorough skin exam, a lymph node exam, skin checking, and palpation of the thyroid gland. So all of these are with cancer screening in mind. We also have a low threshold for new or worsening symptoms that a firefighter may present to us if we think that it could potentially be a cancer. We want to be sure and evaluate that fully.
And I mean, that's just another reason why you should stay up on your AFMEs and get them right, you know, every year.
Yet another reason, yes.
So there you go. And then some firefighters may have heard about some new screening options like the Galleri test or a whole body MRI or ultrasound screening. Can you give us an overview of what those tests do and what the limits to them are?
Yeah, I know that there are several advanced cancer screening tests that are definitely on my radar that I have been thinking about what makes sense to bring to this firefighter population that is helpful and doesn't cause harm. I want things to help more than they cause harm. So I'm evaluating these screening tools with that in mind. One of the screening tests that's available is called a multi-cancer early detection test. The most common commercial product available for that is called the Galleri test, and I get firefighters asking me about it with some frequency. It's basically a blood draw that can look for tumor signals that can indicate a cancer somewhere in the body, and it can screen with just this one blood draw for 50 different kinds of cancers, some of which we don't have great ways of screening for. So it sounds really attractive having this ability. The problem with it is that it doesn't detect early cancers very well. For instance, in a stage one cancer, if you have it, this test will pick it up only 16% of the time. Stage two cancers, the test will pick it up 40% of the time on average. So it's not until you get advanced cancers that the sensitivity of the test being accurate in picking it up reaches 90%. Just to compare, things like colonoscopy have a sensitivity of like 95%. So this test is good at catching advanced cancers rather than catching cancers at an earlier stage. So the question of whether it's actually helpful, if it will actually change someone's life or their death, has not yet been proven in studies. So a negative result is unfortunately not reassurance that someone doesn't have cancer. Yeah, which makes it not a great test overall. So there's no evidence yet that this kind of screening actually reduces mortality, unfortunately.
So you're just subjecting yourself to another test that might lead to
more evaluation poking and prodding, yeah. Anxiety, cost. Yeah, so that is a common theme when we talk about these advanced cancer screening tests. So that's the blood test that people often ask me about. The next is a whole body MRI. So that's another one that firefighters often have heard of and ask me about. So the problem with whole body MRI is that there are so many incidental abnormalities when they do these scans. So they're looking at a bunch of people who have had this kind of screening. 95% of the people who undergo an MRI will have at least one abnormality. And 91% of those are not clinically relevant or mean anything, but may need more, again, sort of poking and prodding and anxiety and cost associated with trying to evaluate whether the finding is of significance and possibly cancer or not. So again, it holds appeal because it can catch cancers that we wouldn't catch otherwise, but it catches so many other things that require further evaluation that, again, they have not yet shown that it actually saves lives. Yeah.
Wow. And what about the ultrasound screenings?
Yeah. So there's some companies that are marketing whole body ultrasound. They look at things like the thyroid and the liver and the ovaries and the abdomen. And the good part about it is there's no radiation. It's not very expensive. But again, kind of like the MRI, there's a number of incidental findings or false positives, and they have not shown any mortality benefit overall.
Wow. Someone might not want to rely on any one of them alone.
Yes. Kind of yeah. Overall, I would say they tend to overdiagnose, may lead to over-treatment of cancers that may or may not actually cause people problems or abnormalities that might not cause people problems. It can provide false reassurance. So I think that the tests that are generally recommended by the NFPA like colonoscopy, like blood work, like mammograms. Those are tried and true. We know that they save lives if we do them.
So let's talk about deciding what's right for you. Mm-hmm. So if someone's thinking about trying one of these newer tests or what they should consider, you know, there's cost, follow-up. I mean, we talked a little bit about emotional impact. Do you want to sort of think about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think if someone is interested in doing advanced cancer screening, I think going into it knowing what I've just talked about, that it is likely that something will be found, and whether or not that actually represents something that is life-threatening is hard to know. I think it's important to consider your individual risk, looking at things like your family history, your occupational exposures, your particular risk factors, and then being prepared for follow-up testing if there is an abnormal result, and knowing that it may be a little bit of a rough road while you're getting worked up to see if that abnormality is actually something to be concerned about.
And I mean, we're talking about how members can talk with their Station 2 provider, being able to figure out what makes sense for them, and the providers will be a great sounding board and advice for that.
Yeah, I think certainly you can discuss with your provider at Station 2 Clinic, again, looking at your personal risk factors, screenings you've already done. It's really important to do the screenings that we're already recommending in addition to any advanced cancer screening, because we know that's like the highest yield. And really thinking about the risks and benefits to you of doing that advanced screening, and who to go to if you have an abnormal result, because it matters who that is and what their threshold for further testing is. That can make a big difference in terms of that follow-up evaluation.
And you guys have an amazing referral list of other qualified professionals to go to as well if something does stand out.
Yeah, we do. You know, I am actually thinking of what sort of pilot projects that we can do, because there's a dearth of evidence about what cancer screening in firefighters works best. And some departments are doing whole body MRIs, others are doing ultrasound screening. And I've been talking to those departments, looking at those results. But I'm thinking that Station 2 Clinic can contribute to some of the body of research if we are willing to dip our toes into doing some advanced screening for certain people. So it's something that is on my mind, and you'll probably be hearing more about in the future, because I do think it's not that all of these testings are bad. There's just pros and cons, and for the right people, they hold great promise. So I am interested in dipping our toes into doing some of it for the right people.
And let's just talk about the bottom line here. What is it you want firefighters to remember about cancer screening and early detection?
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind is following up on referrals that we give you when you come in for your firefighter medical evaluation. Again, these are the most tried and true cancer screenings, and we encourage people to follow up on those. You know, people sometimes don't because they feel fine, but that's exactly the time that we most want to catch cancer, is when it's early and you feel fine. So I think because of the extra risk that we know firefighters have, it is worth just sucking it up and being and going to your screening appointments. So that's my strongest advice.
That might have to be my soundbite. Just suck it up and go get your AFME.
That's right.
Well, let's end on that note. Thank you so much, Dr. Hamrick. Really appreciate you being here today, and look forward to talking to you more.
All right. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks for joining us. Listen Up, L27 is a Seattle Firefighter Healthcare Trust production. This podcast is produced by the Rhizome Collaborative. I'm your host, Jen Pennington, and until next time, stay safe and stay healthy.